Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago on a beautiful late October day. I look to my right, and lo and behold, who it is? It's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
Living the dream. Just days away from actual Chicago Bulls basketball, if you can get the CHSN network, you know, dicey for some of us out there. Hopefully they get that resolved before too long, but yeah, I got the OTA set up, so I'm all good, and yeah, ready to roll. Got a party going for the first game, if anyone out there wants to come.
I will be there, looking forward to it, as always. It's always good to see the entire group of Big Red Bus participants getting all together in one room. It's always a good time, so I cannot wait. And also the weather. I mean, Doug, this is insane. It's like going to be 80 today on October, I don't even know the date. Yeah, 20th. I mean, this is pretty incredible stuff for Chicagoland at this time of year. So, well, Bears are on the bye this week, but the Bears are doing well. Things are looking up, man, for the beloved Bull, too, who took a 3-2 record in the preseason with two wins over the Cavs, a win over the Timberwolves. They did lose to Memphis. They did lose to the Bucks. What say you, your general and first impressions about, I thought, a surprisingly competitive, very good team for the most part during preseason?
Yeah, I didn't catch all of the games. I caught about, I think I caught three of the five. So I didn't catch the most recent one. I would say overall, I was really happy with what I saw out of Lonzo Ball. I think that's a topic we'll discuss in greater detail. Zach LaVine and Kobe White in the games I saw looked really good. I caught the one game where Zach was absolutely on fire from three and one where Kobe was on fire from three. So those guys look good. I would say not so impressed with Josh Giddey overall, which is a concern, I think, for both of us and what that means going forward, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But I don't know. I mean, you sound pretty fired up. Are you moving off your 25 win prediction? Are you moving up to 30 wins? Is it just like you're really excited about how good we're going to be at 25 wins? I'm a little confused, really, what you're thinking now.
Well, my hope is that we're, as our good friend, mutual friend, Big Dave likes to say, fun bad. That's my hope, and I think there's a possibility we could be headed in that direction. I will say, I think our offensively, there's no doubt we're going to be better than I expected. I mean, I don't know if you noticed too, I thought Vooch played really well in the preseason on the offensive end. He, you know, averaged just under 10 rebounds per game, which you expect, but he shot 44.4% from three, obviously not on high volume. But if he even gets that remotely up to 35, 36, 37%, I think that's going to do wonders for the offense. And I don't think he's as bad of a three-point shooter as he showed last year at 29%. And then Io. I mean, Io was incredible in this preseason. He shot 61.5% from the three-point line. Let's just stop there and pause and contemplate that for a moment. 12 points per game in limited minutes. I mean, the guy was absolutely fantastic on both ends of the court. You know, Patrick Williams, who I thought was awful for the first two games, he did look a little bit better in the last game. Absolutely looked a lot better, I thought. You know, still only 26.7% from three and 38% from the field, but I thought he looked pretty good overall the last game until he went out with it sounds like not a serious injury, but a potential issue with his ankle where he rolled his ankle. He said he normally would have come back. And then Zach looked like his old self, you know, 18 points per game, 53% from the field, 50% from three. I thought he was looked phenomenal in the offensive end. What say you?
I mean, I don't really care about percentages in preseason. Like, just the volume is so low, right? Like, wow, Vooch shot really well for however many games on limited attempts. Like, who cares? Io shot great, well, and Io played
kind of
played
better
great.
Than not shooting well.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't care. Vooch shot 32% for the last 3 years combined from three. So you're going to have to do a little bit more than a few preseason games to convince me that you can shoot from three. That's not just last year. That's three full seasons that he combined for 32% from three. Three full seasons. So, no, he's not a good three-point shooter. And getting up to 35% isn't going to do jack. What will help us is if people actually defend him at the three-point line. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, shooting 3% higher doesn't mean anything if no one defends him there. That's all that matters. People either honor the shot and they defend him or they don't. But he's got to get up to like 40% if they're not honoring the shot and he's left wide open all the time before it's going to make any meaningful impact. And I just don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, any improvement is better than no improvement, but it's got to be that he draws defenders to him. That is what opens up the offense. You'd agree, right?
Yeah, and that starts by hitting an acceptable percentage from the 3-point.
No one guards him at 35%. If you leave him wide, if you leave him wide open and he's only doing 35%, he's still not going to be guarded. It's just not a big enough risk. It's like a league average wide shot.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty significant improvement over 29.
Yeah, but I agree. 29 with you. Like, is like out of the league bad. So who cares? Like that,
it'll be different though, Doug. If he's shooting 36%, it'll from only three, be he different. Draw enough attention.
It'll only be different if people guard him, and then you just increase the rate over the rate I said. Now you're like, well, if he shoots 36% or 38%, like you just keep bumping it up. Yeah, sure. If he shoots well enough and people guard him, it'll help. But that's what has to happen, and I don't believe that'll happen. I don't think he's good enough. I don't think it's going to consistently happen. So we'll see. If it does, great. If it does, great. Like, I mean, that'd be fantastic news if it happens. I just don't believe it. I mean, fantastic. I mean, I have been saying for maybe a couple of weeks now, we should just start Io. Io, Kobe, Zach, bench Giddy. Like, what does starting Giddy actually do for us? Like, make his contract bigger? No, make him actually impact winning. You know, I think Giddy could be a good player, but he's got to improve in like very specific ways, and we've discussed that like ad nauseum. And I think the only difference between you and me and our opinion of Giddy is I think you just seem to feel like he's hopeless to improve, and I feel like, well, he's young, maybe. Like I don't know that he'll improve, but I feel like maybe there's a chance he can. But make him earn it. Like, I don't think he's earned it. And I get that he wanted to start, and that's why he wanted to leave the Thunder, but yeah, you're getting outplayed. Like, you're just straight outplayed by Zach, Kobe, and Io. Like, just, you have not earned it. You're straight outplayed by those guys. So I would put him on the bench, and I'd say he's even been outplayed by Lonzo in preseason. And just a couple times we saw Lonzo. So, you know, I would do that. I know we won't do that. I like Jalen Smith, even though he's shot terribly from three in preseason. But I've been like way more impressed with everything else he's done. Like, his defense has been way better than I thought it would be. Everything else has been much better than I thought it would be. And then his three-point shooting has been terrible, which is kind of why we brought him in, which is sort of ironic. But I thought he's looked good. So, you know, we'll see. There's going to be some fun things to watch with the Bulls. I think if they actually started Io, Kobe, Zach, Pat, and Jalen Smith, I think they could actually be like a mid-upper 30s win team.
Yeah, I agree.
But they're not going to. They're going to actually start Vooch and Giddy, and I think those guys are going to just drag them down because you still can't shoot. And maybe Giddy and Vooch will – maybe Vooch will prove that the last 2 years was just bad luck or whatever, or maybe he has a hot year, like whatever, and he shoots well. I don't know. But I feel like those two guys are just like anchors on this team right now, and we're going to play them a ton of minutes anyway.
I don't want to say I don't believe there's any hope for Giddy. I know he does a few things that – are incredibly valuable. He's a good passer and he's an excellent rebounder. So I've never ever stated I don't think this guy should be in the league. What my issue with him has always been is I don't think he shoots it well enough to draw attention on the offensive end, and he's a liability in a defensive end to the point you always have to kind of like work around him. And for a guy whose real value comes when he's on ball all the time, I don't think he's good enough to demand that. But that doesn't mean I don't think he could be like a leader of a bench unit or a good contributing player to a team. I think he can.
Yeah, we're aligned there. We're completely aligned there. Like, it's just, he's not good enough. If he can't shoot, he's not good enough. I think the only difference is I think, like, well, maybe he can learn to shoot. And I don't think you've been real open to that possibility.
No, I haven't. I'll be honest. So, I mean, I think, and then we kind of talked about the other way is if he gets strong enough to become a dominant player and finishing better,
getting
to line better. And I think there is hope for that. But he still is really young. I just don't think he's a good enough athlete when you get down to it to demand the kind of money that he's going to get. And so to that point, I think we should get into this right now. Reports are, you know, the Bulls are negotiating with him. The numbers we saw in a report, where is it here? Gosh darn it.
It's 30 million.
I lost it.
$30 million a year.
$30 million he's asking for based on the Emmanuel Quickley contract, which I've been bringing up. And in defense of the Bulls, I mean, they made the trade on the 21st of June, I believe, and then Quickley signed, you know, first or second week of July. But, you know, one would hopefully wonder or put feelers out to kind of have an idea about what Quickley would be asking for, because that was going to clearly set the market. And what happens, I think Quickly got incredibly overpaid, $35 million a year. I don't think he's worth that much. And then Josh Giddey, then suddenly his number goes up significantly. So I think at this point, if he's asking for $30 million, what you do is you have him play out this year. And then he's an RFA, and hey, do your best, buddy. Go, let's see what you can do. Who's going to pay you $30 million? And then at that point, you have to make a decision. What do you think is going to happen, Doug? Like, what do you, and if you were advising the front office, what would you say in terms of Josh Giddey?
So 0% chance we sign him, like to an extension, 0% chance. And what I would do in regards to Josh Giddey is I'd bench his ass. Say, look, yeah, okay, well, one, we're not going to give you $30 million. Two, you've been outplayed by three guys ahead of you and a fourth guy coming back from injury. So no, we're also not going to start you. Like, that's what I would do with Josh Giddey right now. You know, you had to come back. You said you in all of your interviews that you knew you had to come back and shoot, and you knew that you had to come back and play defense, and you haven't done either of those things. So pick up your end of the slack if you want us to play you. And he's got to do that. Like in the end, there's no reason to coddle this guy. Like, sorry, you know, in the end, you didn't play well enough. And like in defense of Emmanuel Quickly, I brought this up last time. You brought him up and said he was overpaid. He's an excellent defender. He scored 18.6 points per game, and he shot 39.5% from three on 7 attempts a game. So like that's fantastic. A two-way player that shoots 7 threes a game at like near 40%. Like that's fantastic. Like, Giddey is nowhere near that valuable. He can't play defense. He can't shoot threes. He's not, you know, so no, that's like a terrible comparison. I don't care. Like, Quickly didn't set the market for Giddey. Quickly does two super important things that Giddey does not do. They're not even remotely similar players. So I don't think that comparison matters to me at all. And, you know, we'll see. In the end, I would start playing hardball with Giddey now. Like, and we won't, right? Because we traded Alex Caruso for him. And that doesn't bother me. I think the only difference for me and like the Alex Caruso talk and everyone else is I think everyone else in the world just thinks like, well, you could have just traded Alex Caruso for a star player. Well, you couldn't. Alex Caruso wasn't worth that much. Could have got a first round draft pick
for a draft.
Yeah, pick, and I'd have been fine.
Hopefully, become a star.
I'd have been fine, but you weren't going to get a lottery pick for him. And so you're going to
yes, you were.
Or you're going to get 12. You're going to get this like end of lottery crap pick.
Well, it's
like
a lottery pick.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
sorry.
You could combine.
You were not
going to
get
to trade.
You were not going to get a pick that likely was going to give you a star player. Like you were going to get a pick that projects into a rotation player. Like that was what.
Well, I don't think there is any pick that likely projects into star player. That's the whole point.
Well, no. Like, if you get the number one pick in the draft next year, it absolutely projects into a star player. Like a superstar player.
Not in this past draft.
Yeah, right. No, right. True. So the guy you were going to get for Caruso, if you got a draft pick, you know, we talked about this and you said you would have taken Devin Carter if we traded for the pick. And so did I. So did I. And Devin Carter, injury aside, because now his you know, whatever, that's a bad situation. But Devin Carter did not project into a star player. He didn't even necessarily project into a starting player. And he was like as old as Josh Giddey, if I'm remembering correctly already. You know, coming into the draft, or maybe he wasn't quite that old, but he was an older player. And so, you know, whatever, like Alex Caruso's value was not super high. It was like, you could have traded him for a pick that was going to likely be in a rotation level player, but young and on a good contract. Or you could trade him into a guy like Giddey.
We're not going to agree on this.
Well, fine. There's no evidence otherwise.
Doug, this draft was unique in that almost in every draft, doesn't matter how bad it is, there's going to be a player who's going to make an all-star team. It just, the odds are that's going
sure.
to happen. What made this draft, past draft, unique is that I think the odds of that happening at 11, 12, 13, 14 are just almost exactly the same as it would be at 1, 2, 3, 4. The players that people were talking about drafted, it's clear. This is there's not a lack of bad players in this draft. There's just a lack of clear number ones. And people were saying that before and after the draft.
Well, before and after the draft, you said you would have taken Devin Carter with the pick we could have got for Alex Caruso.
No, that's what you said. No, when we were driving,
we had a podcast about it.
Over my conversation?
We had a podcast about it. We talked about it in person. I said, right now, Bulls are on the clock. If you got the pick, who would you take? You said Devin Carter.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yes. But what was my, when we were driving there, who did I want the Bulls to get?
Who wasn't available with either of our picks.
Who was it?
Zach Edey.
And so if the Bulls, you mean to tell me if the Bulls would have traded Caruso for number 13? It's completely out of the realm of possibility. They couldn't have moved 11 and 13 to go up and get Zach
Edey. Well, you didn't mention that at the time. So you can make it up now, but that's not what you said at the time.
No.
You did not say you would trade both picks. You explicitly said at that point in time that if you would do the trade for the pick if Zach Edey was on the board. You never said I would trade 13 and 11 for Zach Edey. I never said that.
I wanted to leave that draft with Zach Edey.
Terrence Shannon Jr.
Terrence Shannon Jr. I would be very happy if we could leave that draft with those two players. And so that's how you make that happen is you trade him for...
Well, you didn't bring it up. You didn't bring it up when Zach Edey was off the board before we picked. You didn't say, oh, well, what I would have done is I would have traded these two picks. You brought it up now. But fine, I'll give it to you. We'll just say we could have traded Modest Bozelas and Alex Crusoe for Zach Edey. We can go back in 3 years and see how that looks. I'll give you that one. Okay? That sound good to you? So Modest Bozelas, Josh Giddey, and I guess Modest Bozelas and Alex Crusoe. Yeah.
We'll see how it looks.
I'm not real excited about Giddey. I just don't think like the overall like value of that pick like of 11 or 13 was very high in this draft or any draft.
We've gone over this. Yeah.
I just hate the contract situation.
He was due to be paid.
It's the contract. It's all the contract.
It's a contract.
It's the contract. It's all the contract.
It's not factored in.
If we play super hardball, if we just did what I suggested with Giddey, bring him off the bench and say, look, you've been outplayed by everyone. Prove to us you can shoot and defend like you said you were going to. And until you do that, you're going to come off the bench. If we did that, Josh Giddey's value is probably like $12 million a year in free agency next year.
Yes, I agree. But of course, but we're not going to be happy.
I don't care if he's happy. And maybe we wouldn't even keep him. Maybe we'd trade him. Like making Josh Giddey happy is not my priority. Like I'm okay with him as like a value proposition. And it may not work out. Just like I would have been okay if we drafted Devin Carter or Zach Edey, and it may not work out with either of those guys or any guy, right? Like ignoring the names, it may not work out. I was glad that we at least moved off Crusoe because I knew there was no long-term future there that was going to make sense for us, and we got something else that might help us in the future, regardless of what that thing was. So directionally, that was good. But yeah, right now, you know, Josh Giddey did not come out of the offseason shooting a lot better. And, you know, that was like 6 months he had to work on it and said he was going to, and he didn't. So that's where we're at right now.
9.5 points per game, 31%, just over 31% from the field, 31.3 from three, 77% from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Like, he's going to put up good counting stats. He's going to rebound the ball. He's going to get a lot of assists. I think there is a potential danger at the end of the year if you just, you know, play hardball and let him be an RFA at some dumb team out there. We'll offer him $30 million, $35
don't
million.
Care. Let
it's
him
possible.
Go.
I don't think it's likely, though.
I don't think it's likely.
In our favor.
If his season stats were his preseason stats, I wouldn't even pay him $12 million a year.
Yeah, I think somebody will give him 18
yeah.
or 20
And
year,
maybe that team
so what?
Can
That's
be
what
us.
That's what I want him at.
Maybe that team can be us. Like, I don't mind, but he either needs to get a hell of a lot better or he needs to be paid like in the $15 million a year range because he cannot be your primary on-ball guy with the way he's playing right now. And so he had all offseason to improve the things he said he would improve. He came in saying, these are the things I know I need to do, and he didn't do them. So here we are.
I just tweeted this yesterday. He's clearly the fourth or fifth best guard in the team right now. Right now.
Yeah.
Behind Zach, Kobe, and Io.
And Lonzo.
And I think you can maybe Zoe. And maybe Zoe.
Yeah, I mean, Lonzo's limited in minutes and back-to-backs, but damn, Lonzo looked freaking awesome.
Maybe awesome's a little strong. Like, I didn't think he was moving that great, to be honest. But, I mean, overall, big picture, you can't say enough about it. You know, him and Kobe both shot the exact same percentage from three, which is 45.5% in the preseason. Incredible. Just, he looked great shooting the ball. And it's just good to see him out there. You know, you saw the little helps on the backside, stealing the ball, making, you know, diving out of bounds. I mean, the guy's just a great – he's a joy to watch. But I also am realistic about – to me, our goal should be – just to get this guy moved by the trade deadline, hopefully for some type of asset. If it's a second round pick, so be it. You know, I don't know how easy or hard that will be.
Yeah, Lonzo didn't move great. I agree with you. But what was really impressive was how well he played defense despite not moving great. And so it's like, yeah, he can defend, he can shoot, and he can pass, and he's uber smart. And yep, he's not going to break down the defense. But if Lonzo was healthy this whole season, I would rather pay Lonzo $20 million a year again than pay Josh Giddey if he doesn't learn to shoot.
That's a considering what these 4 years have been like, that's a pretty damning statement of Josh Giddey.
Well, yeah.
I want to do a hypothetical here. Let's assume that Ball plays like he did in the preseason.
Okay.
What do you think the best action is or course of action is with him for this year then?
I mean, it depends. What are my options in this case? Like, are you asking, like, should we trade him, keep him, start him, bench him? I'm not sure. Where are you going?
What do you do with Lonzo? What do you try to do as Doug Tonis if you're running a team with Lonzo Ball?
So
assuming he stays healthy all year.
Yeah, I mean, are we assuming there's a minutes restriction? Like, because there's some things we can't really tell, right? Based on his health.
Of course.
So
no, we can't tell. He's on a minutes restriction.
Well, what is the minutes? What is the minutes restriction?
Is it probably? I imagine it'll be between 20 and 24 a game eventually by the end of the year.
Yeah,
wouldn't you guess so?
I would think so.
That's what I would predict.
I kind of feel like they're. I mean, I don't know. Like, I just feel like when these guys are practicing hard, like, I don't feel 25 minutes is really that big a deal in a game. Like, I feel like they're working out harder than that. I don't know that the minutes restriction really does a whole lot for you. Like, I feel like you can rest in practice instead and get the same or better effect. I kind of get the back-to-back thing. That makes sense to me. But, yeah, we'll see. Assuming a 25, no back-to-back restriction, I would probably have him as my closing point guard. I'd reserve him to close out those final 8 minutes. And I would... Yeah, I'd bring him off the bench, but he would be the guy I would play in important moments for sure.
But if a team came to you at the trade deadline and was able to work out some type of deal where, in essence, you just basically gave him away for a second-round draft pick,
I'd keep him. No,
make
I'd,
that move.
I'd probably keep him.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm shocked to hear you say this.
If,
really?
I mean, it depends. If he is healthy and he is playing well, and we go with the assumption, and so I think this is a huge assumption, and I don't think this assumption will turn out to be true, just to be clear. But if we start with the assumption that he is healthy the whole year, is able to play the 25 minutes a game with no back-to-backs, and he's not having all these symptoms and recurrence of knee surgery, I'd be okay signing him next year. Like his meniscus, it's a donor meniscus, it's all new. He got cartilage injected into his knee, that's all new. If those things show that they can take the pounding over the course of a season, I don't know that I have this like huge concern that this is going to be a big deal again. This isn't like shaving the meniscus for the third time where there's like nothing left to it or something. Like now, whatever is there is there. And if it is able to take the pounding, I'm not sure that there's so much risk of recurrence. And then if you add on top of that the fact that he's been rehabbing for 2.5 years, like I feel that's enough time that whatever else he would need to have done to build up all the compensatory muscles and all this other stuff is probably done because it was such a long, long like tail to get to this point. So I just feel like there's this chance. That's what I would do. I mean, you don't have to agree with me. I completely get if every Bulls fan out there says, Doug, you're nuts. And so my counterpoint to this is I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to have recurrence of injury. I think he's going to have problems. But if we got to the trade deadline and his health was perfect under the conditions we described, I would probably rather have the option of keeping him and seeing if that stays over the last third of the season than getting a second round pick. Like a second round pick is just such low value. I'd rather have the option of keeping him.
Lonzo's going to be 27 in a week.
Yeah.
On the 27th of this month. So let's play this out. I want to give you a scenario.
Okay.
This year, Lonzo's with the team the whole year, and he plays between averages, let's say, 20 minutes per game. He misses a few games in back-to-backs out of precautionary reasons, but he gets through the whole season quasi-healthy. And he performs. He performs like he has in this preseason. He does the smart things, hits some three at a high level, you know, smart defensively. Doesn't move like he used to, but it's obvious for what he went through. And, I mean, this is kind of a unique situation, Doug. There's not a lot of players that have gone through this. So I agree with what you're saying is, hey, hopefully the chances of him being injured again are minimized. But, I mean, we don't really know, right? I mean, this is kind of like interesting new waters that we're into with him. That said, let's assume that Giddey puts up his typical year. Let's say a 14-7-6 and shoots 32% from three and... You know, but show signs as a younger player. What is he, 23? I don't even know what Giddey's age is. 22, 23? He's pretty young, right? 22, I think.
Yeah, I think it's 22.
So both those two players come, you know, let's finish the year. Lonzo wants $20 million next year. Let's assume just continuation, maybe a 2-3-year contract. And Giddey wants 25 to 30. You can only sign one. Who are you signing?
If Giddy does not improve his shooting or his defense, I probably am signing Lonzo.
Wow. I cannot believe I'm hearing this. I'm shocked, man. I mean, so Giddy is 22 years old only as of October 10th.
But wow, the contract is going to be for like probably 4 years either way. And yes. Like Lonzo's not going to be old at the end of that deal. I mean, it's like you're taking the health. Yeah, it'll be 31. Right? It's not. Not like way out of his.
He's going to look awful old at 31.
Not way out of his prime.
I don't see him aging great.
Why? I don't know that. So I don't know that I agree that we're going to have to see what happens with him for sure. And a lot of it will depend on like the specifics of. But if Lonzo's defense is good, his shot is good, his passing is good, and he stays healthy, then yeah, I'll take him. Even if he can only play 25 minutes a game at 20 million, rather than having Giddy do what he's done in the past, still not be able to defend, still not be able to shoot. In that case, Giddy is only also worth playing 20 minutes a game. Because those flaws are things that are big problems. And so at that point, Giddy is also a 20-minute-a-game player, and he's costing you more money. And Lonzo's a 20-minute-a-game player that fits with everyone, and Giddy isn't. So, you know, at that point, that's what I'd do.
Yeah. I wonder what type of chemistry issues there are potentially on the horizon if we give just Giddy. Giddy plays out the year as a 22-year-old younger guy in the team, clearly not the leader of the team, which anybody's been watching these behind-the-scenes videos, it's clearly Kobe White and Zach are the leaders of the team. And Giddy signs a deal for $30 million. Let's just assume he signs it for $30 million. And I think Bulls fan who's been watching the games, and I think at the end of this season, people will still rank Kobe White, Zach LaVine, if he's still here, and potentially Io better than him. I mean, that's a horrific potential negative chemistry situation where you got a guy who's a third or fourth best guard on the team who's getting more money just because the Bulls gave up a major asset to get him, arguably their best trade asset. It's part of the reason I mean, it's not like I didn't see this coming. This is exactly, I stated last year on the CHGO show when I was on December 1st, why don't the Bulls just run with this backcourt of Io and Kobe? I don't understand why every year they're constantly trying to bring in, whether it's Goran Dragic or Javon Carter, people to compete with Kobe White when he clearly is getting better every year. And he's getting better as a playmaker and shooter, and you have just two combo guards in the backcourt, one of them in Io, who's a much better defender. Why are you bringing in another guard when we have all these issues with our front court? It is maddening to me. I guess when you get to the end of all this, you know, blathering, that's what I feel. It's just like, at what point can we address our front court? I don't feel like it's good or deep. Or who's going to be our center? Doug? I guess Smith has been pretty good, but
yeah, but they have no third center on the roster, and they don't have a legit power forward either, right? Like it's like, so yeah, the front court side is really weak, and I agree with you. We've spent too much time trying to upgrade the backcourt. And, you know, like I was thinking about this today and, you know, you'll say whatever you want about it. But I was thinking, you know, if we had just never signed DeMar and we'd never traded for Vooch, but we still signed Lonzo, I kind of feel like a Lonzo, Zach, Kobe with Wendell Carter. Like, I feel like that team could have still done really well. I think we're going to trade Lowry either way. I mean, that didn't work out well at all, but I don't blame them for that one from a process perspective. You know, like clearly they didn't scout him real well, but even if we just like throw that one away, say we still traded Lowry, you know, whatever. But if we had just even kept those guys, like Wendell Carter would have looked way better with Lonzo Ball throwing him passes. And he would have given us like some type of defensive like presence, you know, at center that we've lacked. And, you know, if you look at that, what that team would look like today, it's like, and you would have these extra draft picks and young assets to build around. And you, even if you just ignore like some of these other things, like that team, and if you still had Caruso, like that would have been a defensive juggernaut, that team. Like if you had Carter back there instead of Vooch, and then you still had these dogs on the perimeter defending, like that would have been really interesting. And so, you know, I think it's just now like our problem is we still have all of these like challenges from trying to be like halfway in the middle. And the Giddy example, you know, I was hopeful when we traded for him that, you know, he would try to address some of his issues. It doesn't look like so far that he's done anything towards that meaningfully. And, you know, we'll see how this season plays out. But, you know, my hopes for Giddy have gone down. And it's going to be rough. I'd do exactly what I said. I would bench Giddy until he proves to me that he is better than Io, Kobe, and Zach.
In retrospect, after all this with watching Ball come back, I kind of did a deep dive into, like, what the Bulls were doing and why they were so good in that November, December of 21. Because if you recall, they lost Patrick Williams. He wasn't really on the team. It was all, though, I would counter pretty much DeMar being superhero on the offensive end. And on the defensive end, you had these two incredible perimeter defenders in Ball and Caruso. And I think those two players they're 3-and-D players. They're exactly what you need in today's NBA. Switchable players. They can go guard multiple positions. Incredibly athletic on the perimeter. They were playing at such a high level that their defense was good, too. Even if you didn't have a guy on the back end in Vucevic to protect the rim. That's what was the key for that team to be so, so solid, you know. And I don't think it would have aged well. Obviously, Lonzo got hurt. But even if he did stay healthy, I think the East improved enough that, you know, they would still been probably 4, 5, 6, right? But they wouldn't been making the playoffs. They would have been in that, potentially maybe even getting a first round home court.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's worth noting that year Alex Caruso wasn't a 3-and-D player. He shot 33% from 3 that year. He was a D player.
The first year?
Yeah, he shot 33% from 3 on 3 attempts a game. And he shot below 40% from the field. He was just a defensive juggernaut that year.
That year. But that year. He obviously.
Yeah, but well, I'm just saying that year years when the team was really great. Like that year, you know, he in the Lakers championship year, he shot well from three, and last year he shot well from three. And that's, you know, kind
of. No, and then he shot 48% from three early in his career.
Yeah, on two attempts a game. I mean, like, and barely played because he was in 25 games. Like, come on, he shot probably like 23s that year or something stupid. Like, let's not get overly crazy. Like, anyway, the point is, like, he that year was just a defense. I mean, it really was just a defense he provided that season. But I think the rest of your points remain the same. You had these great perimeter defenders, and then you could slow the game down, and then you had DeMar DeRozan killing it in the half court.
Yes. I'll agree on all those points for the most part. And you're right. Yeah, Caruso only shot 33.3% for the first 24 games of 2021 on 3 attempts per game.
Yeah,
he did have 4 assists.
He was a good player. IQ player. He was a super good player.
High IQ.
Like, I'm not suggesting he was bad. Similar. Yeah, like it just he wasn't I just don't want to overstate what he was doing on the 3-point shooting side. But yeah, he was a really great player.
So I just looked it up from 2021, from game 1 to game 29, and then he went out with an injury. So this was up until December 20th. He shot 36.7% from 3. So he did shoot better than that. He was 36.7 isn't great, but it's definitely not 33%.
Yeah. If we throw away all the data that we don't like and doesn't support our case, then it was a teeny bit better.
Okay. No, good to know. 36.4% is fine.
Yeah, it's a little better, like I said, if you throw away all the other data that doesn't match what you want it to say. Like, anytime you start an argument with, like, well, if I throw away the data that goes against my point, then my point is much stronger. Yeah, no shit, Fred. Works with anything you want to do.
Doug, but you said he shot 33%.
All the games that he didn't shoot badly, he shot well. Like, okay, thanks for letting me know that.
Well, I'm pointing out.
And I'm pointing out you can't throw away all the data you don't like. It's just not how it works.
Bad. Yes, like, when they played bad, things did not go well.
If we get rid of all the losses, the Bulls had 100% winning percentage.
Okay. All I'm saying is during that period when the Bulls played well for the first 2 months of 21.
Well, they played well up through like February, not just up through that December date.
I agree, and he went out January. So he basically was out all of January and all of February. And did not come back until the last day of the month. All right, well. No, what am I talking about? I came back March 12th. That's amazing. I forgot about that. So he was out and Ball was out for that whole massive streak. And I think, like, DeRozan carried them for a couple wins early in that stretch when they were both out. Do you remember this?
It's yeah,
all coming
yeah.
back to me now.
Yeah, they.
In fact, Ball and him were out and the Bulls won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row.
It was all DeMar DeRozan.
Things went south. It was all DeMar DeRozan. Yeah.
And
exactly.
And it was all lucky, fluky games. The one thing I would say about that team's record, though, is like even when they were number one in the East, like their net rating was like +2, which is like kind of projects to be a 50-win team or like upper 40-win team. Like, so they had like a really bizarrely lucky record relative to their performance. Like, they were great in clutch games. And maybe you could say that was because DeMar DeRozan was super clutch, and then, you know, Alex and Lonzo to a point were super clutch defensively. So those things weren't purely by chance. But they did really well in these clutch games. And it's sort of been a marker of what they've done over, the last few years, really. You know, not just even.
Any more? Let's we got to wrap this up because I got a game I got to leave to in 5 minutes. I did want to get you some final thoughts on the preseason in terms of, has it changed any other players of note that you wanted to mention that, like, has it changed your opinion on teams going to be better or worse than you expected? Let's talk about Dalen Terry, who unfortunately shot 14.3% from three, which is, again, sad. But outside of that, I thought he played pretty well. Like any other players that you wanted to comment on?
I don't know if there's anyone specifically. I think Matas Buzelis, we didn't talk about today, but I think the same kind of general trend, like you like what you see out of him, but it's not going to be productive for a while. Dalen Terry, I thought he made really good defensive strides. Like, he just looks like he knows what he's doing now instead of just being high energy. He looks like he's high energy with purpose on defense. But the shot needs to come around, right? And especially with how crowded our guard rotation is. And that doesn't look like it's, like, I mean, that looks hopeless, right? It's just so bad. Julian Phillips, I thought in the games I saw him, I thought he played really well. Again, I saw, I think, like 3 of the 5 games and pieces of some others, but I liked what I saw from him. I mentioned Jalen Smith, I thought looked better defensively and in every way than I thought he would, except shooting, which I thought would be his strength, and he shot really poorly. I didn't see him make a three all preseason. I don't have the preseason.
He was 0 for 11.
Yeah,
he
okay. Didn't make one. So that makes sense.
I think he might have missed more than that. Actually, but I know at one point he was 0 for 11.
He was 0 for in all the games I watched. That was obviously disappointing, but hopefully that's just an anomaly. Like I said, I don't care about preseason percentages. It's really about whether there's something real. And credit to you for saying, hey, Jalen Smith's three-point percentage was on not that high volume, and he only did it 1 year. And I think you pointed that out earlier this preseason to me. And I said, well, yeah, you're right, but he's young, so hopefully, you know, you expect guys who are young to improve, but maybe that is an anomaly.
Yeah, well, credit to you. He's played way better defensively than I thought.
I didn't think he was going to play better defensively, so that wasn't something I was projecting.
So far in the preseason, he's been a lot better defensively than we all thought. Like, yeah. I thought he's been a really good rim protector.
Yeah, that really surprised me. There was one game, he didn't get any credit for blocks, but I thought, like, he got screwed on, like, 2 or 3, and I was just like, no, he looked good there. So, I'm quietly a little excited about him. So we'll see what happens. I kind of fun bad maybe is where it's going to go. I don't know though. If Kobe and Zach are really playing at this high level, like, I think they just might be okay. Like, I feel people are maybe a little bit more down on the team than they should be because we lost DeMar. But if Zach LaVine comes back, like All-Star Zach, I don't think it's going to matter. And if Lonzo Ball comes back and gives you 20 solid minutes a night, that is something none of us predicted, right? Like, we all just scratched Lonzo as worthless. But all of a sudden, if you have 20 minutes of Lonzo playing like he used to, that's Alex Caruso back. I mean, like,
no doubt. Here's what's going to happen. Like, Io took another step to me. It's pretty clear. So he was playing really well at the end of last year. If he continues even just playing at that similar caliber from, like, December, what he brought out last year from January to the end of the season, like, he's going to be way better. And then you got Kobe. I always felt like there's another level for Kobe, that shooting +40 from three-point line, and he's looked really good in the preseason so far. You're right about Zach. If he just goes back to where he was, you know, just being a monster on the offensive end in terms of efficiency. And Vucevic, I will say I've been pleasantly surprised about how good I think he's looked on the offensive end. I think he's played really well.
He's played really well. I agree. I'm a Vuc hater, but he's had a good preseason. The way they're using him seems better. They're not getting him in as many three-point actions. I think actually Josh Giddey has helped Vuc. So we'll see how that goes. I think actually if they started Io, Kobe, Zach, Pat, and Vuc. I mean, I'd rather start Jalen, but I know they're not going to. But if they started those guys, they benched Giddey, and they had Lonzo and Giddey coming off the bench, and they played those other guys over them because those other guys are all better, I think this team would be about as good as it was last year. Like I said, I think they're gonna be
That's
anchored.
Unbelievable.
I think they're gonna be anchored down by Josh Giddey playing bad from what I've seen in preseason, and I think they're gonna be anchored down if Vooch doesn't play. If Vooch plays similar to last year, he'll also anchor them down. I'll leave open the room that if he plays better. And the thing that kills me with him, though, is his defense is so bad. He's just so much lost a step. It's like so problematic. But I think Zach coming back and Lonzo coming back actually does a huge amount to replace Caruso and DeMar. And I think people are maybe understating that. And me for sure, too. In that group, especially with Lonzo, because like I said, I think every single one of us just put in a goose egg for what we expected out of Lonzo, and two preseason games in, you got to reevaluate that.
The Bulls have made it clear that they're going to focus on shooting more threes, and I'm just telling you right now, if Kobe White, Zach LaVine, Io, and Patrick Williams all shoot better than 40% from the three-point line, the Bulls, I got news for you, they're not going to get their lottery pick this year. They'll finish 11th or 12th. Or 13th, and we'll lose it and hand it over to San Antonio. If your goal is keeping your pick this year, you got to find a way to move Zach. And the good news is it sounds like there are some teams now are showing a degree of interest, because having four guys like that shoot at high volume on hitting plus 40 from three-point line, you're gonna win a lot of games. Well, not a lot, but more than we expected. Let's just put it that way. More than my 25 prediction. So I think he will be traded to the Lakers. I think that will happen. And when that happens, I think things will change a little bit more for the worse.
Yeah, they need Zach for his offense. Like if they lose Zach, they're gonna lose a lot of scoring punch. You know, like you can't lose Zach and DeMar. Like I know Zach's not a true number one, but whoever is left after Zach's gone sure is probably not even a true number two. You know, like that's gonna be a big loss. And maybe Zach and maybe Kobe could be a true number two if he continues to improve. And maybe that's what Zach's role is number two. But then two number twos is still a lot better than one. And then, like, you know, you get no one after that. So it's going to be rough if they lose Zach on offense. But yeah, we'll see. I'm not like particularly optimistic about what the Bulls are going to do, particularly the way they're going to play. And then actually even considering their goals, right? If we want to have this high lottery pick in this draft where there's potentially franchise players, I don't think we're so concerned about the total wins at the end of the season, right? So, you know, we'll at least hope for fun bad in a year that we wouldn't mind being bad anyway. Is not such a bad outcome.
I do want to give a shout out and thank you to Kevin Grabowski, who sent over some really cool thoughts and a logo idea too. Can't thank you enough, Kevin. Really appreciate it. We didn't get to your email today. I hate to say this, but I promise we will get to it on the next show, because it was clear you put a lot of effort and thought into it, and I did enjoy reading it. So we'll talk about that in the next one as we bring in the Big Rod Bus in D2. I got to hit the road, basketball games later today for my son. So, and I will see you on Tuesday, my friend, for game one. Looking forward to it at your house.
Well, it's Wednesday.
At, La Casa. So
show up Wednesday. At Wednesday.
Wait, it's Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
Wait, I thought it was Tuesday.
It is not Tuesday.
Did I get this wrong?
You got it
the
wrong.
The opening game is on...
It's on Wednesday.
It's on the 23rd.
I believe the NBA opens on Tuesday, but the Bulls open on Wednesday.
My bad. Well, then I'll see you Wednesday. It would have been a real bummer if I showed up on Tuesday. I'm glad we had this conversation. But if I would have showed up with my Big Red Bus and the party's not on. Sounds good, my friend. Until next time, let's go Bulls.
Go Bulls.